Hello, everyone, and welcome to Trinity Heart Podcast. And of course, I'm Coach E. I'm your host. And it's been challenging to be able to come on and record. I think I haven't missed but one week since I started recording. I've been really struggling, fighting this cough and whatever else is going on for the last month. I mean, for the last 8 months, as a matter of fact. But anybody who does anything for God know that it is a pressing way. It is a pressing way. And so I've been pressing my way. And I am so grateful for Crystal Jackson. Crystal have helped me so much. You know, of course, she's a busy, busy young lady, and we have deadlines. And most of the time, right now, it is 11:21. So I probably end up posting maybe about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't get off until, 9:30 once I get home and get my throat cleared up and get my prayer time in, praying that I can get through it. I record. And so I'm so grateful for her help. She does startup, website, podcast, whatever you need. Crystal Jackson, she can help you with that. And her information can be found at iventlife, iventlife.com. So tonight, I am still teaching out of Pastor's Rick Warren's book, What on Earth Am I Here For? And tonight, I'm going to talk about how temptation helps us to grow. I know you might find it hard to believe, but that's how we grow. When you think about just doing the basic, there's no challenge in that. When you think about, if you read your Bible and you go back and you look, you'll see how all our brothers and sisters who've gone before us, who made some type of impact on the world, they had some form of temptation, because that's what the enemy does. He comes to tempt us away from the things of God. So tonight, we're going to talk about how temptation help us to grow. You know, the first thing that I want you to know is that God has too much invested in us to give up on us. He has too much invested in us. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, that we may have a right to the tree of life. That's a lot. He invested the life of his son for us. He never gives up on us. You know, and as we grow, as we grow, as we mature spiritually, what comes up? Temptation comes to help us it really, really does come to help us to get to the place where God is calling us to become aware of his plan and his purpose. For all through scripture, you'll find that he had a plan for our lives, a plan not to harm us, but one to prosper us and give us hope in the future. We have to see temptation as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. You know, when temptation comes, I used to see it as a stumbling block. But then I realized that every time temptation came, and whether I passed the test or not, it pushed me, it grew me up, it matured me. So it does come as a stepping stone. What temptation does also is that it allowed God to set before us life and death. It allowed God to set choices before us. And so, you know, the scripture said that he set before us life and death. We have to choose. And so just think about it. How many times we have had to choose to do what was right But we chose to do what we knew was wrong. You know, that is that warring of our members, our flesh with the spirit. And, you know, Paul, he said that when he willed the good, evil is ever present. Paul wrote practically all the epistles, but he was saying that when he willed to do good, evil was present. When he wanted to do good, he did bad. He said, oh, what a wretched man am I. And so I find myself crying that same cry. Oh, what a wretched man I got. But I'm now more conscious of the fact that the temptation comes really to grow me up, to grow me in the things of God. To what it does is show how much I love God. And so, you know, let me get kind of natural here. Anybody who's been in a relationship with anybody, if you've been in any type of relationship, male, female relationship, whatever relationship you've been in, most of the time, when you say you love that person, your goal is to not break that trust. So that means you don't cheat. You don't lie. You don't do all those things that might break that trust. So that's the type of relationship we need to form with God, to love him so much that we won't let anything, we won't let the temptation come to divide us, to separate us from the love of God. Who shall and what shall separate us from the love of God? And so we have to love him enough to press in. Look, if you read your Bible, if you have a relationship with God, you'll know exactly when temptation comes. You know, and so you have to ask yourself a question sometime. If you hear me smacking, it's because I got a cough drop. I'm sorry. So what is the question is, what is the main weapon that Satan used against us? What's the main weapon that Satan used against us is temptation. And now, when you think about it, he has no other tool. He has absolutely nothing else to use. And guess what? His game has not changed not one bit. If you go and you look in scripture from Genesis all the way through, you'll see that the game has not changed. One of his goals is to get us, you know, to doubt God and to turn back to our sinful nature. Remember in Genesis, the third chapter, where he said to Eve, now this is a scripture, I'm gonna read it. It said, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? That's not what God said. You see how he twisted around? Eve, remember what God said. She said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say that we must not eat from the tree that was in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you would die. Okay, you see how he took the scripture and he turned it around? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree? That's not what he said. And she knew exactly what he said. You know, so it's so important that you know the word, because you must be able to fight the devil with the word of God. And so in order to fight him with the word, you got to know the word. She knew. So therefore, she chose to do what was wrong because she quoted what God said and she knew. So remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil quoted half-true scripture to him, and Jesus quoted the true scripture. He said to the enemy, he said, the devil, it is written. He told him what was written in the word. You got to fight the devil with the word. You can't take to fight him with what your friend said, what your Uncle Billy said, or what you heard your grandma say. You got to fight the devil with the word of God. In order to do that, you have to know the word. You know, every time we choose to do what is right, we become more like Christ. You know, we die to our own sinful nature and taking on the character of Jesus. And that character is found in Galatians, the sixth chapter. And it can only be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit: joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These nine fruits, they just don't happen though. It takes time to mature. They're developing our life by the choices we make. And guess what? Temptation provides the opportunity for you to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Everything, you know, that happened in our life happens so we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Go read your Bible. It's right there. Everything that happened, he said it happened that we may become more like Christ. That Jesus is the first fruit of many brethren. That's us he's talking about. Everything, the temptation comes to make us. The temptation comes to deal with our sinful nature. So we can be conformed to the image of Christ. It's right there in your Bible. It's right there in your Bible. And so, you know, I remember 4 years ago when I asked God to teach me how to love unconditionally. And you want to know how he did it? He sent those unloving or hard to love people in my life. I mean, he sent some people, and most of the people that he sent was people who had been abused in some type of way, you know, had been sexually molested, raped, alcoholic, drug addicts. I mean, he sent people who had been traumatized by life to teach me unconditional love. And over these last four years, I have learned to love them, and they have learned to love me. Because what happened when he sent them, that old fleshy Esther, I forgot about what a sinner I was. I forgot that I was jacked up, messed up. I might not have been a drug addict, but I had my own addictions. I might not have been a liar, a thief, but I had my own sin that I had to deal with. I was judgmental, and, you know, didn't want to be bothered. I'm not dealing with her. All my Christian life, and even before I became a Christian, God always sent people my way who was bruised, who was, I always tried to figure out why are you talking to me? Why are you telling me all of that? Why do you think I want to hear all of that? But now I realize that sometimes people just need you to hear. It's not that they want you to do something about it, but they need you to show them love. They need to see in your eyes that you really care about what happened to them. Even if you don't, sometimes, you know, I just say, let me give you a hug. Is it all right if I give you a hug? Sometimes they just need to know that you care. So the scripture tells us not to judge, not to be critical, you know, but to love people. You know, when I asked God about teaching me unconditional love, I was just reading the scripture. Now, you might hear me say this again and again. When I sit here and I ask God to teach me, you know, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor like you love yourself, I realized that I didn't love myself. So how could I give someone something I didn't have? But these last 4 years, through sickness, through trial, through suffering, oh my God, I have learned that we all stand guilty. We all stand so guilty, and we all have sinned. and falling short of the glory of God. And as I die to myself, as I endure the crushing, as I endure the breaking, you know, I realize, you know, it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. You know, understanding that I had to go through the fire to come out like pure gold. I mean, this salvation is the only thing free. The rest of it, it costs you. If he gives you a platform, if he gives you a voice to the people, it's not free. It will cost you. You got to be out. I understand why so many pastors walk away from the pulpit. I understand why they walk away. Oh my God, do I understand? Because there's a price to pay. Are you willing to pay the price? You know, you got to be able to die to yourself daily. You know, you just got to die. You know, I had to go in the office today, of course, about hurting somebody's feeling. And so it was so, you know, I'm a little tender right now. So I told my supervisor, I said, you know, I can't control people's feelings. I said, and why is that people want me to conform to them? And I was so, you know, just overwhelmed by it all. I said, I just don't understand what the problem is. You know, why can't I just be me? And so, you know, I was very emotional about it. But I'm going to show you how our God works. So I'm standing there. So one of my customers came in. I think she's one of the funnest people I ever met. I just love her because she's so real. Most of my customers are like me. So when people come through my line that's not like me, that don't like truth, you know, they, I just wish I could. One of these days, I'm going to tell a story even about working at the patch, the type of people, you know, me as a African-American older woman had to deal with. But anyway, so I'm sitting up there and I'm grieving about what had been said and, you know, all my little feelings, you know. When you don't feel well, it's so easy to get emotional about anything anybody say. And I've been not feeling well since October. And so, you know, this is second time in the last 60 days, I think, that somebody complained that I made them feel a certain way. But let me show you what God did. So when my customer came in, she brought, I think it was might have been her friend. And so we just laughing and talking, you know, and we started talking about, for some reason, we started talking about haters, you know. And so her friend looked at me and she said, I know you got haters. She said, because your light is so bright. She said, and your haters, she said, they hate your light. I said, yeah. I said, one of my friends told me that my haters, they love me, but they hate that they love me. They're not understanding, you know, where I'm coming from. And so what God did in that instance, he brought me some healing because I was heavy. I was like, I don't understand. But I was heavy, and he sent this lady in to let me know why people were doing what they were doing. That every time I look around, they do some serious stuff. They email my general manager. They go past the supervisor. You know, they go past my supervisor because he's black. They go all the way to the top. They just skip protocol altogether. And so, anyway, God sent these ladies in to tell me, say, it's your, you know, you have such a bright light. You have, she say, so I know haters have issues with that. That's the type of God we serve. He sent these people. So, you know, I could give in and say, well, I'm just done. You know, I know one day my assignment is going to be up there. But right now, I'm telling you, if you only knew what that did for me, because I'm basically a happy person. I like having fun, with my customers, but I know who I am. You know, I know who I am. I know who I am. And the haters, as we call them, they don't want you to know. They want you to bow down to them. But guess what? I refuse to bow. I refuse to get it because I am the righteousness of God. And he knows who I am. And he knows why I'm there. And so these are the people that I say are challenging for me. Because most of the time when they do, they're not going to tell me who it was. But when they come back through my line, the Holy Spirit, I look in their eyes and I always know that that was the person. Because what the enemy does, he come back to gravel in what he did. Yes, I wrote the general manager. You can see it. You can see I am a real seer. And because I deal in truth, I'm able to see you, not your flesh, but to see who you really are. And so loving your enemy, learn to love your enemies and do good to your haters is a real test of your character now. It really shows the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It really does now. To love your enemy, do good to those that despitefully use you. Do good for the ones who don't tell the truth about it. You know, do you know that your feelings are your feelings? I have no control. If you allow me to make you feel some type of way, then that's on you, it's not on me, because I don't be trying to make you feel but one way, and that's feel good, to have a good experience when you come through my line. So anyway, he teaches us real, you know, I was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So we had talked about love and what love does. Learn to love unconditionally. He teaches us real joy in the midst of our sorrow. Oh my God, oh my God. And that's what can happen today. In the midst of me feeling so sad about, you know, feeling hurt because people just say all this crap. He said, he told us to pray for them, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemy, do good towards them. And I realized that, you know, even happiness comes and go, but joy is from God. See, that's what I was talking about your emotions. Happiness is an emotion, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I try to stay in the presence of the Lord, for in his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's why I try to live, even on the job. I try to stay there. You know, and God, you know, he gives us real peace. Peace is a part of, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. By allowing chaos and confusion, all that, you know, all of that happened today. It's easy for me to have peace when life is going well. I got to work, I was happy, I felt good, you know, and then up pops the devil. You know, but it's still easy to have peace when life is going well. But you can have real peace when you're struggling with health issues, when you're struggling with your finances, when you're struggling, you know, with family, when you're in a struggle. You know, I could talk about health because that's where I've been, trying to feel good. It's nothing like not feeling good. You know, trying to breathe. You know, the brother was preaching on Sunday, and he talked about, you know, the breath of God. He talked about every time we inhale God. Ooh, that just, I was like, oh my God. I said, every time I breathe, I inhale God. Because if you go and you look at Genesis, Genesis, the second chapter, when God created man, the scripture said he breathed into man the breath of life. So every time I struggle to breathe, but every time I inhaled God. You hear me? And I reminded him. See, when you know the word, you can remind him of what he said. What did he say? What did he say? He said, your latter year shall be greater than your former year. And so What about patience? David said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard my cry. James said, but let patience have the perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It wasn't the suffering that produced the matureness, but it's the endurance. It was me enduring trying to breathe, me enduring all the coughing, me enduring having a headache day in and day out, me enduring getting up and going to work, me enduring everything that I've gone through. It wasn't the suffering that produced maturity, but it was the endurance. God uses the opposite situation of each fruit to allow us a choice. We can't, you know, really claim to be good if we have never been tempted by bad. You can't know what good is until you experience some bad stuff. You can't know what faithfulness is if you have never been unfaithful. One thing I learned, all of this is built by defeating the temptation to be dishonest. Every time we defeat temptation, we become more like Jesus. Just hear what I'm saying now. Every time you defeat temptation, you become more like Jesus. You conform to his image every time. Every time you're going to be doing this until you see him face to face, because it's not going to stop. You know, when you think you got a halo and wings, it's going to be a continual process until you see him face to face. In Romans 8:28-29, it said, and we know that God is working for the good of those who love him, who's been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. All this is about conforming us to the image of Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among men and brethren. Have you ever thought about how temptation works? Have you really ever thought about it? I know you experience it now, but have you ever thought about it? Okay, so first of all, say, you know he ain't got no new tricks now. Come on. From the beginning of time, he has used the same pattern. And according to Pastor Rick, and I have to agree with him, pattern ain't changed. He has no new tricks, you all. He has none. You know, Pastor Rick said there's four steps. There's a four-step process that Satan followed. And in the first step, he identifies that desire inside of you. It could be sinful, a sinful desire, or just a normal desire. It all starts with a suggested thought. Sometimes it could sound good, however it has bad intention. Remember, although there are many circumstances outside of us that may influence us, temptation always started in our mind. That's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do you remember what Jesus said? For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lust, lust for pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. I know we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about no vile stuff. We don't want to talk about none of this stuff. You know, we want, Jesus love you? Yes, he does. He love us. But this stuff is real, and this is the stuff that the Holy Spirit comes after to conform us to the image of Christ. Then secondly, Satan wants us to doubt God. You saw how he dealt with Eve. You saw how he dealt with Jesus. Go read the Bible. That he deal with us the same way. Thirdly, he is incapable of telling the truth. He is very deceitful. He will never tell you the truth. He is the father of liars. And when we listen to all the lies, it leads us into disobedience. You know, James said that we are tempted when we are drawn away and trapped by our own evil desire. Then our evil desires conceive and give birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. Death, meaning sometimes it really do physical death. But what he's talking about here is basically a spiritual death. I've been a backslider. Oh, how jacked up, messed up you are when you lose that connection with God. But one good thing about it, he's married to the backslider. So anyway, we're going to continue to talk about how to overcome temptation in our next segment. So I have a question. Of course, I have a question. Let me see, can I find it? From one of our listeners on Facebook. Alicia asked, is there a white right way to pray? Well, you know, you have to read your Bible when it comes to prayer. James said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, for me, I pray according to where I am. And then if you go and you look at the different ways people prayed in the scripture, you'll see that most of the time when they pray the word. You go and look at how Jesus prayed when he prayed for Lazarus. He said, he when he talked to God, he said, you know, I'm doing this so the people will know. Then you go and you look at how Jesus prayed in John 17th chapter. You go and you look at how he prayed in Matthew the 6th chapter. Go and look at how some of the people prayed in the Old Testament. You know, it's all depends on where you are and how much word you know. But I'm telling you, when I pray, I basically remind God of what he said. You said by your stripes, I'm here. You said that if I call you, you're going to answer and you're going to bring me out. This is what he said. I remind him of what he said. I said, you said the prayers of the righteous avail as much. You said, if I be willing and obedient, I eat the fruit of the land. That's what he said. So anyway, that's what we have to do. I don't think there's a wrong way to pray. It all depends on where you are now. I'm telling you. And so anyway, I'm going to end it there. I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior of your life, this is a good time to invite him in. And just ask him, just tell him, say, you know, I need to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus, come in and save you. Ask him and ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you evidence of speaking in tongues. And so I thank you again for tuning in to Trinity Heart Podcast. And just bear with me as I work my way through, because I know in the end, I win. And so continue to pray for me. And remember that God is love, and love comes from God. And God love never fail. Everything he does is built on the foundation of love.